So what happens when a group of people get together and say, let's just go for it and make our lives count? You're about to be stirred and encouraged today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I've got my office filled today with folks who are going to encourage your heart, build your faith, and challenge you. And perhaps for some of you, you will hear a call to leave everything and follow Jesus by enrolling at Fire School of Ministry and a few years from now being sent out as a world changer. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. So much happening around the world, but I want to focus on some great things that God is doing. And in doing so, your own faith will be built. I was looking last night at another ministry that God had mightily used to impact other nations and watching the faith journey they had been on and how God supernaturally backed them and the lives who've been touched. And it encouraged me to pray and ask God to do even greater things. We've only got one life. We've only got one shot. We've only got one opportunity to glorify the Lord. And I'm quite sure that on the day we stand before him, none of us will say, oh, I was too committed, or oh, I had too high a view of God, or oh, I wasted too much time doing God's work. No, we'll probably all wish that we could go back and do it again, seeing how great God is, seeing the reality of eternity, seeing the depth of his love and the beauty of Jesus and the shortness of life and the impact we could have had. We will say, oh, I wish I could go for it again. Well, here's the opportunity. Today is the only day we live, and I just posted a quote on Facebook, something I'd said some time back, that the only difference about tomorrow is that today's habits will be more deeply ingrained. So if change is going to come, it has to come today. We've got some students from Fire School of Ministry, a recent grad from Fire School of Ministry, and the director of Fire School of Ministry, of which I serve as president. And let's start with our director, Keith Collins. Great to have you back on the air, Keith.
Hey, it's great to be back with you today.
Now, Keith, last interaction we had was late last night about our trip to India in December.
Yes, looking forward to that.
Now, you came to Pensacola. You had been in ministry already, but you came as a student and enrolled in our ministry school. What was the impact on your life being in that environment?
It radically changed everything for me. I'd been in ministry 12 years prior to that. Married with three children, had pastored a church, done a lot of itinerant type ministry. But being in that environment just set me ablaze in a way that I had never even experienced before in my life.
And it was kind of like a temporary high, and then once you graduated, it left?
Not at all. Obviously, we all go through trials in our walk with God, but what God did there has sustained me throughout every situation I've been through now, almost 29 years of ministry. So it was very supernatural.
And one of the youngest looking grandfathers
thank you.
That I know. What's your vision as director of the school? We've just got about a minute to kick things off. And then I want to talk to Neil in a moment. Neil's served with our team in northern Iraq, and we can talk about that. But in short, what's the vision? Why does this school exist?
The school exists to raise up, number one, men and women that are radically in love with Jesus and that are willing to literally give their lives for the gospel. We are very serious about righteousness and purity, but we also know that having that intimate walk with God is important. And out of that, we launch people around the world, and they are literally touching the world. So it's not a school for everybody, but for those that are serious about the call of God, that are serious about living for God, that are serious about being deeply in love with the Lord, Fire School could be the place for you.
All right, friends, if you want to find out more about Fire School of Ministry, you can call 704-782-3610. That's 704-782-3610. Or you can go to fire-school.org. When we come back, I want to talk with a young man, Neil, who plans to go to the Middle East with his family and serve there. What happens in someone's life to go into an area like that to preach the gospel?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Last night I had spent some time in prayer. I had worked on a new book that I'm involved with. I had spent some time on my Job commentary, and I thought, I want to write an article. What should this article be on? And just got stirred. It was late last night, and I wrote an article called I Refuse to Accept the Status Quo American Version of Christianity. You can read it by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on latest article. Friends, there's a simple twofold goal on today's broadcast. Number one, I want every one of you listening to be encouraged. I want every one of you listening as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, to be encouraged that your life can count, that your life can make a difference, that if you will throw yourself in and go for it and give yourself unconditionally over to the Lord and walk in the light you have day by day, God will use you to make an impact whoever you are, wherever you are. There's also a second goal. There are some of you listening, and it could be you yourself, or it could be a family member, and God is calling you to be trained for the work of ministry in our intensive three-year program here at Fire School of Ministry. You could be on your way to college and realize, no, I'm not going in the right direction. You could be a graduate with a PhD. You could be a medical doctor. If God's calling you, obey his calling, or at least walk in the direction of it and find out if this could be the place for you. I want to talk with one of our recent grads, Neil. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I'm honored to be here.
Neil, you're also married with kids.
I am married almost 10 years with three kids.
All right. How old are you?
How old am I? 36.
All right. So you came to Fire School of Ministry in your 30s.
Mm-hmm.
How long had you been walking with the Lord?
At that time, I had surrendered fully to Jesus about 3 years prior. I've been raised in the church. I had a nominal faith my whole life, but I didn't fully surrender until about 3 years prior to Fire.
All right. And what was your wife's background?
She was raised in the church as well. She had nominal faith growing up, but the Lord really got a hold of us about the same time, 3 years before coming to Fire.
And what's her educational background?
She is brilliant. She's a lot smarter than I am. She got her master's degree in international affairs and economics. She was recruited by the CIA twice and turn them down. She's the brains of the operation.
All right. And the one raising three kids.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So when you came to the school, what was your self-perception of your spirituality?
I knew I had a hunger and a thirst for Jesus. I didn't know how to quench that thirst. But what I saw at Fire was a place where people who were equally as hungry as I was were coming to drink and to eat. And so I just came absolutely desperate for more of Jesus.
And what was the impact, say, the first semester that you were there? We have classes that really immerse you in God's love and knowing who you are in the Lord, as well as just lay some of the most basic doctrinal spiritual foundations. What happened to you in the beginning of your time at Fire?
My world was turned upside down and sideways and shaken very hard.
How
so? In a good way. I heard teaching that I had never heard before. I heard preaching from men. I had never heard men preach like this before. I had never heard people pray like this before. And I saw a level of intimacy with Jesus and the people around me that I had never knew existed. And I saw that these were not only my teachers, but these were my peers who were in class with me, who were chasing after heaven with everything they had. And it drove me deeper into the hunger that I thought I already had.
Now, was it all a matter of sitting in classes, or was there hands-on experience that you began to get?
Yeah, one of the awesome things about Fire is it's a very practical training institution. It's not just a school where you come and learn about Jesus. It's very practical, hands-on. And so part of one of the things that blessed me the most was just being on the streets, evangelizing, ministering to people, meeting people where they are, and being stretched and challenged and put into difficult situations. The times in prayer. I had always wanted to know how to pray for more than 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, but I didn't know how to do that. And it's not like there's a step-by-step thing that I learned, but it was just being in an environment where men and women would pray and seek heaven for hours on end, and it taught me how to go after God in prayer.
And then you did, in your third year, as all of our students do, an internship, mm-hmm. practical internship that is going to tie in with future service, future ministry calling, as best as you can understand it at this stage of life. What did you do for your internship?
Yeah, I went to northern Iraq, me and my family. We went over there.
Wait, hang on. Married? How old are your kids?
At that time, 6, 4, and 7 months.
Okay. So you take your family with three little kids, your mm-hmm. precious wife and three little kids, over to northern Iraq.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
A very safe, comfortable, wonderful place. We knew very clearly God was bringing us to the Middle East long term, and we knew that we wanted to spend our internship time in the Middle East. And I knew I wanted to do that with my family because I wanted to see how we were going to handle a situation like that. And man, God, he was so good to us. His grace was incredible. We learned so much, but we got to experience things as a family that we wouldn't have had that opportunity if we would have been in another program where, say, we just stayed in school that semester and we weren't allowed to go and to be stretched in the way that we were.
And how fascinating with your wife's background and foreign affairs and all of this, and then this calling. Tell me about the team that you serve with there. These are grads from our ministry school, some of them with little kids as well, some single gals over there. But what was your experience? Tell me about your impression of the team that is right now serving in northern Iraq.
Right. They are radical lovers of Jesus. That's the best way I can describe them. They are sold out for the kingdom of God. Their eyes are fixed firmly on Jesus. Their hands are firmly on the plow, and they're doing his work. And they are not concerning themselves with what the world is telling them they should do, which is go somewhere safe, protect your family. This is not smart. We would go into refugee camps. And
especially refugees from Syria these days.
There was quite a number of refugee camps within close distance of where we were living. So we spent 2 or 3 days a week in these camps, ministering, praying for people, sharing the gospel, loving on people. And we would talk to other workers in the area who their approach was not similar to our team in Iraq. Our team in Iraq, their approach is we proclaim Jesus. We boldly and openly proclaim his gospel. We lay our hands on the sick, and they are healed in his name. It doesn't matter if these people hate Jesus. It doesn't matter if they hate America. This is what God has called us to do, and this is what we do. And the results and the fruit of their labor is unbelievable.
Incredible. Incredible. Friends, if you want to find out more about Fire School of Ministry, give us a call, 704-782-3555, 704-782-3555, or go to fire-school.org, fire-school.org. Keith, you work with our grads in many different parts of the world. Something that's really striking is so many of them are involved in humanitarian work. They're preaching Jesus. They're seeking to make disciples, plant churches. But what kind of work, humanitarian work, are some of our grads involved? Maybe you've witnessed it or worked with them or just know about it.
Yeah, I have. I've seen it firsthand in different nations. You know, we have graduates that are feeding the poor. We have graduates that are rescuing orphans out of literally garbage dumps where people are just scrounging just to live. We have graduates that are working in human trafficking, rescuing young people out of just the atrocity of human trafficking. We have grads that are also helping, single mothers that have no support system. So it's incredible to see what a group of people, like you said as you started the show, can do when they put their hearts into it and they allow the Lord to use their lives. And by doing this, people's hearts are softened and they're open to receive the gospel and to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So it's amazing really what they're doing.
Yeah. I know a lot of the stuff that by God's grace we sought to pour into them.
Right.
And have a heart for revival, mm-hmm. have a heart for Jesus, revolution, different things that they're living these things out. But so many things they're doing. So much of the vision and the way they're serving the poor and the needy and going to some of the worst parts of the world and bringing the gospel there. you know, we sit there and hear the stories and we cry. You know, just I saw posted on Facebook some of our grads that went to China, and one of the young guys is a skateboarder. He's become kind of a national sensation. Yeah. So this is mainland China. They built they shared their vision for a skate park and stuff for young people to come and, you know, building, and that was big. I thought, well, if they've got faith for it, great, but where's the money going to come from? God brought in the funds, and they posted on Facebook the other day. They had, what, 450 people or something like that packed in there hearing the gospel. You know, they do skateboarding stuff, then hear the gospel, and 40 or 50 of them said they wanted to receive the Lord, and filling out information for contact. God. All right. We want to talk to some more of our grads, students, when we come back on Fire School of Ministry, and then speak to each of you. Maybe you're not called to be part of us, but we want to give you a word of encouragement that God can use you wherever you are.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, we haven't done this in a while, and it is way, way overdue, bringing in some of our students and grads and the director of our ministry school to talk about Fire School of Ministry. Perhaps this is where God's calling you. Perhaps he's calling you out of your comfort zone, or perhaps you've been praying and thinking about this for years with your whole family or as a single person, to get immersed in an environment where people are all going for it together, to get immersed in an environment where people are praying and fasting and serving on the streets and making a difference, and then with a vision to get sent out around the world or across America. Maybe Fire School of Ministry is the place for you. If so, give us a call. Even if you just have questions for a family member, for yourself, 704-782-3555, 704-782-3555, or go to fire-school.org. All right, I want to talk to one of our students, talk to our director, Keith Collins, talk to one of our grads, Neil, and we'll be talking more to them over the course of the day. But let's talk to one of our students. Laura, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. Great to be here.
All right, Laura, how old are you?
I just turned 23.
Just turned 23. Wow, that's, our daughters are 37 and 35. So you're closer in age, actually, to our granddaughter than to our daughters, amazingly enough. All right. Laura, how is it that you came to the school?
Well, I was just in Michigan working, actually, and had been going through some restoration with actually some of the fire missionaries, and they had told me about the school. I didn't even know anything about the school. They told me about it, and actually a week prior to the school even starting in August is when I applied, and it was like boom, 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 very quickly. Had some friends help me pack up and come here, but I didn't really barely know much about the school. I just felt the peace of God on it, and actually did my research once I got here. So
really?
Yep. I just felt the peace of God on it and just went with it.
All right. Now, was it because you saw the quality of the folks ministering to you? Did that speak to you?
Definitely. Just seeing where they had, even their history with where they had been and their heart that they had. Yeah, it was just very genuine, and that's something that I had always hungered for, and it wasn't really getting where I was, and they found that through them. So,
now, did you have any sense of calling on your life or sense of like spiritual destiny when you came here?
Definitely. I feel like I've always been the one, the searching one, mm-hmm. in my family especially. And I've gone and done internships at other biblical places. I mean, IHOP and stuff like that. So I definitely felt like there was something more. And there's always been this draw to this kind of community. So definitely.
So once you got here, did anything surprise you positively or negatively?
Everything shocked me. I was surprised that something like this could even exist. It was better than what I even imagined. So, yeah, once I got here, it was just kind of an explosion. It was actually like how it's described. We start with immersion, the beginning of the school year, and I just felt like I was just drawn over by the Spirit. So, yeah, definitely took me away.
So, Keith, if we can just grab the mic, we'll switch this back for a moment. No, keep those headphones on, Laura, because I've got a few more questions for you. Tell us about immersion. What happens with that?
Yeah, immersion is a time that we have at the beginning of each semester. And during that time, our students and a lot of our leaders come in from different areas, and we go out to a retreat center. And during those days, we really just give ourselves to going after God. We pray a lot. Our leaders encourage and challenge the students, but it's also a time where the students really begin to develop friendships and really a real community. And it's interesting because you can't really describe it adequately. There's something very supernatural that takes place in those settings. And, you know, the thing about it is most students come knowing that this is not just your typical run-of-the-mill Bible school or seminary setting, that, you know, we're connected with people around the world that are giving their lives for the gospel. So something very supernatural and synergistic happens in that setting, and we really encounter the love of God, the call of God, the power of God, the presence of God. I mean, it's an incredible setting.
And it's kind of an instant community builder, isn't it?
It really is. You know, it's something I've told, you know, people that you can't really make this happen. It's just something that I believe God does. And again, there's such unity that comes out of those settings each semester that it's really a quality time.
Awesome. All right, let's grab the mic back over to Laura. Laura, you've been with us now for 1 year?
2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
1 year plus 1 year. Yeah, I had two
there
fingers. There we go. two years. What would you say are the most dramatic things that have happened in your life since you've been here?
Since I've been at Fire, I definitely noticed my passion for the Lord has definitely increased. There's been a drawing, and especially with a community, just the body of Christ has definitely been an experience. I haven't really ever had that. So just even the fullness of the body has been definitely, yeah, very important.
And what about the first semester, just the immersion in God's love and those foundational truths? Did you see something, or were you aware of something happening in your life as you were taking these classes?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the truth, I was just being new exposed to it. I mean, as long as I've been with the Lord, I mean, I've kind of been on the fence quite a bit. So being here, it's been just an intensity and a furnace for me. But yeah, a lot of the stuff was new. The love of God, there was different facets of his heart that I wasn't exposed to before that I felt like drew me in. And just like Neil was saying earlier, the different teachings and the different ways of preaching, like it's just alive the way that the word is shown here. So,
and what have you gotten to do in terms of practical ministry so far?
Practical ministry, I've done some evangelism, and I love going out with the life teams to the abortion clinics. I love being able to minister to the broken women there. But mostly I've served on worship team here. That's more of the practical, just singing and developing those talents that the Lord's given me. So that's been where I've been expanding mostly.
Neat. Yeah, and enjoyed seeing you on piano and singing Sunday morning at our Father's Day service. All right, friends, I do want to encourage you as an individual believer, whether you are called to be part of Fire School of Ministry or not, I want to encourage you to determine to make your life count, to recognize that we only have one life. And really, it goes by remarkably quickly. And you don't want to live with regret. So I encourage you, whatever your life situation is, if you're in massive debt and you can't even think about making new plans, if you're working three jobs, if you've got so many kids running around, you're just looking for a moment to breathe and get the house cleaned up, I want to encourage you to live in such a way today that you'll have no regrets about it tomorrow, and to recognize wherever God has you, however mundane the situation, if you'll start the day and say, Lord, I'm your son, I'm your daughter, I'm your servant, I want to make a difference, he will use you to make a difference, and you will grow in him in the process. All right, friends, just a reminder that this week we have some of the most important resources that our ministry has put together. A lecture series that I did at the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, on Can You Be Gay and Christian, with practical steps of how to minister to the gay and lesbian community. Answering the tough questions, was Jesus tolerant? Is there such a thing as ex-gay? Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? 5 DVDs, together with my new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? With postage, it is over an $80 value. But this week, half price, so we can get this out to as many of you as possible. $40 postage paid. So call now 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978, or go to our website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question about working out areas in terms of calling of God on your own life, practical steps to take, and in particular, if you'd like to find out more about Fire School of Ministry, we've got our director, Keith Collins. I serve as the president. And then we have a couple of students and one of our grads to be talking with you, not just about the school, but to edify you and encourage you about your own life making a difference. And Keith, if I can get you to grab the mic there again for a moment, what about tuition at Fire School of Ministry? It's two semesters,
right,
a year. What's the tuition per semester?
It's a little over $1,800 a semester. So, you know, we intentionally keep it low. You know, with that said, we have some of the most qualified instructors here that you'll find. But we really try to keep it as low as possible so that as many people can come that really feel led of God to come here. So we're serious about that.
Right. So it has nothing to do with quality. It has to do with our vision.
That's exactly right.
Of doing our best to serve as many people as possible. And what about the actual schedule? Is it conducive to people working jobs around it?
It is. A full-time student goes 3 days a week, and that day usually starts about 8 a.m. in the morning and ends about 12:30, 12:45 in the afternoon. Now, there are some electives they can choose to take if they'd like to. And then on Tuesday night, we do have a night class that meets for 2 hours.
And that's when I normally do my teaching.
That's when you teach. That's right.
And we have several classes going at the same time.
Right. But we have several students here, even families, that are able to come. And with the area being as good as it is with regard to jobs, they're able to find jobs that, you know, gladly work around their school schedule. So if you're feeling call of God to train for real ministry, you know, it can happen. I mean, it really can.
And in addition to that, they've got weekends to go out and participate in ministry. You often lead teams out as well.
Yeah, that's another, you know, core part of our program here. It's not just the classroom time. It's not just even the mentoring time. Those things are important. We have small group settings, but we take students around the country. I just took a group of students up to St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, and we had like five services, and two of the services, the students did everything, the preaching, the worship, everything. So
neat.
Yeah.
And you've had seminary classes.
Yep.
And earned some degrees in that setting. I'm an adjunct or visiting prof right now at four different seminaries and have taught, I think it's seven different top seminaries in America. So I'm all for that. In other words, there is an important part that plays and that type of higher education. Now, we have our profs. Some are seminary grads, others university grads, and they could teach at different seminaries. But there's a different philosophy in terms of the purpose of our school. Why is hands-on training, and every local church needs to grasp this as well, why is hands-on training so important?
It's important because you can fill someone's head with a lot of information. But if they're never really putting their hands on the ministry, then oftentimes they graduate from institutions around the country, and statistics clearly show that many people never really do anything with regard to real ministry activity. So we feel like when a student is here, the development process is not just the scholarship area or academia, but it's also developing the giftings in their lives. So one of the ways that those giftings are really brought into fruition is for them to put their hands on the ministry with qualified, experienced leaders by their side. But we really release them to do the work of the ministry while they're here. And the results are there's a large percentage of our graduates that go to the mission field, they go into ministry in the States, working in humanitarian areas. So it's a great thing to see that they come out of here feeling prepared to do the work of the ministry.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage all of you who are ministry leaders, church leaders, facilitate your folks that are part of your congregation, your home group, your Bible study, facilitate them getting their hands dirty. Facilitate them going out and actually doing the work, not just sitting and listening and learning, but going out and doing the work. I want to talk to one of our students who's come here married with kids. How does that work?
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you would like to find out more about Fire School of Ministry, the school that we planted in Pensacola, Florida, it began in 1997. It's continued now in North Carolina. The student body has been large. It's been small. It's been different size. And in each size that it is, we've maximized that. Students always like it smaller because of more discipleship, mentoring, personal attention. But at our biggest, everyone is still going to get in that environment of discipling, mentorship, personal attention. Because we have this burning heart to play our role in the Great Commission. We have this burning heart and a sense of calling to see this world changed by the gospel, to see America shaken by the gospel, to see the nations touched by the gospel. That's what we live and breathe. And in fact, all of you who support our ministry, if you give on a regular basis, if you are some of our faithful torchbearers, if you're able to give periodically, the first fruits of everything that we get, we sow right back into our grads who are serving as missionaries around the world. If you want to find out about Fire School of Ministry, you have to be at least 18. Our oldest grad, 92, I think, he graduated, when he was in his mid to late 70s, and he's still going strong doing prison ministry in his early 90s. But you got to be at least 18, have a high school diploma or equivalent. We had one of our students had three PhDs and led a department in his university when he came to the school. We've had others fresh out of high school. But the key thing is you need to be seriously committed with a sense of calling on your life that you want to make a difference with the gospel. Give us a call to find out more, 704-782-3555. That's 704-782-3555. You can call for yourself. You can call to find out info for your family member, or go to fire-school.org. That's fire-school.org. I want to talk to another of our students, Dylan. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Great to be here.
Now, Dylan, you are also married, as is Neil, whom we spoke with earlier. How old are you, Dylan?
30 years old.
30 years old. All right. And how many years been married?
Been married this coming up year. We'll make 9 years.
9 years. And any kids?
We have three little girls, 7 years old, 6 years old, 4 years old. And then we have a little boy who is due July 9th.
All right. So as you have taken the step to come here, you obviously were working a job before this. You're uprooting your family, coming with wife and kids. How did your wife feel about making this move? Where'd you live before, and how did she feel about making this move?
Well, we're both originally from Louisiana. We had made one move prior to here. We had gotten married in 05. Month and a half later, my wife was pregnant with our first daughter. And that following year, when our daughter was 1 month old, we uprooted. We moved to New York. So we were there, a little bit of a culture change, obviously,
uh-huh. Yep.
But we were there for about a 3-year period, came back to Louisiana. So we had moved prior, and my wife has always trusted as far as my direction and the way we felt that the Lord would be leading us. So coming here to Fire, when I felt the Lord had spoke to me, I still specifically remember the moment driving to work. I couldn't get it out of my mind all day. Just God really pressed on me the school, and it consumed me the entire day. I wasn't planning on talking to my wife that night when I got home. I worked at a restaurant, so I worked long hours and late hours, so got home really late. Came home that night, and I really couldn't concentrate as she was just trying to catch up with me regarding the day. And I was battling whether I would bring it up or wait till the following day to kind of mention. And as I finally begin to fumble and stumble and say, you know, I just really feel like, and by the time I got it out to her, she really latched onto it and said, if you feel like this is what we're supposed to do, let's do it. And so that's all I needed was a little crack in the door and kick the thing right open. And here we are.
All right. What was your purpose in coming here?
Purpose in coming here. I got saved, really surrendered to the Lord in 2002. That was my senior year of high school. I just graduated, actually. Been serving the Lord for about 10 to 11 years. Had been involved in smaller aspects with ministry, helping out, filling in at certain times, but always working outside of the ministry. But had a desire to really get more specified and intense and focused training regarding the ministry. I didn't really know how that would be possible, being married and having children at that point. You know, I'd looked into a couple schools prior to FIRE. We felt God was stirring us for about a 2-year period prior to us making the move here. And so I looked at a couple schools. One was, you know, you had to be a single guy to come to it. Another one, it was you couldn't work while you were attending school. So I just kind of put school out of my mind. And when I came across FIRE and I read all about the school for the first time, it didn't even cross my mind to consider it until the Lord really pressed it on me. So from the moment of moving here, coming from back home, we really felt like the Lord was calling us to become part of a family, and I guess for us back home, we could look out and we could see a particular minister at the church who was strong in the Lord and faithful, really connect, really come up under. We could find one or two people within the congregation at different times and in different points of life. But when we came to visit at FIRE, we didn't just see one or two people that were walking with the Lord, that were actively pursuing and had this burden to really see Jesus exalted in our nation and in the nations of the earth. So with that being said, we wanted to come immerse ourselves in a community of people, really get grounded biblically, get a good, firm, found understanding, but also have that hands-on training, which Neil talked about earlier.
All right. Let me go back to Laura, again, one of our current students in the School of Ministry, and at the ripe old age of 23. So we've got a 23-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 36-year-old, and then a 46-year-old, and then, can you give me my cane? My cane in the wheelchair. I'm 59. No, so for those who need canes and wheelchairs, no joking there. But we've got some younger people in the room here. Laura, you mentioned that you met grads from our ministry school when you were going through a time of restoration in your own life. Did the enemy ever try to tell you, because of attacks that had come against your life and rough things you had been through, that you were somehow disqualified or that God wasn't really interested in using you?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the major attacks, was that there was no purpose, there was no point to my life, and that I should just stay deadbeat in the town that I grew up in and not really pursue anything else. So there's always been a constant attack, but, I mean, there's always been a fight in me that I know that the Lord placed there. So
now, there are folks listening, and I know you've shared testimony publicly, but I don't want to do that now. But there are folks who have been either they grew up in a rough background, or they had an abusive family member or an abusive spouse or something. In other words, they were victims in one way or another. And yet, even as a victim, there's a feeling like you did something wrong, or that you're unclean somehow, and the enemy messes with you. And it really makes you feel like, I really can't do anything for God because I'm like damaged goods. Mm-hmm. Speak to that issue.
Well, personally, relating to that, I know that there was no value or worth in it. And so that's just something that I just pursued the Lord for. I mean, going through restoration with this couple, I mean, there was just the truth that I had to lean on. I mean, it's not an easy thing. I'm not going to make light of it. It's very emotional, and it's personally, it just, you have to take your time when you work through it, because to really be solidified in your identity and who you are. And even though you might have not have done that, what had happened to you wrong, I mean, you still pay the toll of all of the shame and the guilt of that happening to yourself. So even working through that and knowing that you do have a destiny and a purpose, like, that was a place I had to get through and even walk through my first semester here. I mean, the leadership here came around me and they walked me through it. I mean, really got solidified in that.
Right. And so friends, I want to encourage you not to believe the lie of the devil that you are somehow disqualified. Every one of us comes to the Lord as damaged goods. Every one of us comes to the Lord broken. And if we think we're not, then that's one of the first lessons we have to learn. And that's who God works through. Dylan, we've just got a minute, but as you've sat through now one of our missions conferences and heard testimonies of grads around the world, what's that done in your own life?
It was honestly, in a positive way, very damaging and stirring at the same time. You know, I've read about different missionaries. I enjoy reading. I haven't been exposed to a lot of actual missionary work. So coming here to Fire and sitting through that first conference and seeing how the Fire family, as I hear over, but the conference really gave me a visual of it, is that the Fire family is bigger than what I see here at the school and see here at the church. So it really began to stir us. And even when you don't feel called, at least not yet, to the mission field, you start feeling called to the mission field when you're sitting in the middle of the missions conference.
We come back. I want to talk about Jordan with one of our grads and what God's put in his heart to find out about Fire School of Ministry. There's still time to register for our fall semester. It actually starts in mid-August, so now's the time to jump in. Call 704-782-3555. That's 704-782-3555. Or go to fire-school, fire-school.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One of the things that happens when you are at Fire School of Ministry, we're doing this broadcast with a twofold purpose. One, to edify you, build you up, challenge you, encourage you to make your life count for God, whoever you are, wherever you are. And two, to let you know about Fire School of Ministry in the event that God may be calling you be part of the school, to be trained and equipped. I would gladly spend 2 hours on the air to get one person that belonged here that was going to go out and be a world changer. Now, by God's grace, we speak to a whole lot of people during these 2 hours on the air. But I would spend these 2 hours and the funds involved in 2 hours of radio broadcasting, and folks take time out of their schedule to join us just for that one. So everyone comes just as one, whether we have 100 students or 10,000 students. Everyone comes just as one, and you go out as one, but part of a family. One of the things that happens to folks who are in the school is they really do get a burning heart for the Great Commission. And there's been a growing burden in our midst for the Muslim world. It's always been there, and we've had folks for years in different Muslim countries. We can't talk about it freely. One of our grads was martyred a couple of years ago. I wanted to shout it to the whole world, but we simply couldn't because we still have workers in this part of the world. I'm not even going to mention the country. It's a very dangerous place to be right now. We have grads team serving in northern Iraq right now. And Neil, one of our newest grads, married with children, feels called to the country of Jordan.
Yes.
Neil, tell us how that call rose in your heart, and what's the dream? Why are you going there?
Mm-hmm. Well, my first semester at Fire, the Lord gave me a vision. It was during a worship service at one of our chapel services, and he took me on top of a cliff overlooking this massive desert. As far as I could see, there were millions of people staring up at us. And he said, "I have little ones here who do not know me, but I know them, and I need you to tell them about me. I will take you." And that was the beginning of this burden that I had for these people of the desert. And so over the course of my 3 years at Fire, the Lord just increased that burden more and more. And I visited Turkey for a short trip last year. And on one of the flights to Turkey, the Lord woke me up with the words Ezekiel 36. Mm. And in Ezekiel 36, the Lord is prophesying to the mountains of Israel that what is now desolate and devastated will be rebuilt, replanted, and restored. And it wasn't until I was in Iraq for my internship that the Lord revealed to me that what he wants to do to the most precious crop in the Middle East, his church, is restore, rebuild, and replant. And so that's really what we feel called to in Jordan. Jordan is going to be a base for us, but our call is to the people of the desert, the Arab people that do not know him, but he knows them.
Now, we have a strong heart for Israel in our school of ministry. We teach a Jewish roots class that everyone goes through. All of you read my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. And yet, you do not come away from that with some hostility towards the Muslim world or hostility towards the Arab world, but rather a burden for them.
Right.
Do you do you feel that they go together, reaching the Muslim world and blessing Israel? Is there some connection in your mind?
Absolutely. What we see in the wisdom of the Lord is former Muslims who now are radical followers of Jesus crawling on their hands and knees into Jerusalem, thanking the Jewish people for their Messiah. And that will truly be the fullness of the Gentiles, which will provoke the Jews to jealousy.
Mm. And you have a background in videography. You have a website, don't you?
I do.
What is that?
IronKiteFilms.com.
All right. IronKite, K-I-T-E, for those who forgot how to spell the word, IronKiteFilms.com. Do you feel that the videography background is going to play into work that you do?
I do. I didn't intentionally start a business. What happened is I needed a way to support my family while I was in school. And during one night in prayer, the Lord spoke to me very clearly about starting this film company. And I know now that it wasn't just to provide for us for my time at Fire School, but it's going to carry over to our time in the desert.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Keith, let's just go back over to Keith Collins, our director. Speak to our listeners about how God can use anybody, that we disqualify ourselves in many ways, whereas God's saying, just the person I'm looking for.
You know, oftentimes we try to qualify ourselves before we approach God. And it can't be done. You know, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he was the great apostle Paul. So maybe you're listening to this broadcast today and you're hearing these stories, you're hearing about missionaries, you're hearing about the call of God on Neil's life, you're hearing how God has encouraged Dylan and how he's changed Laura. But you're maybe saying, you know, that's great for them, but that's really not me. You know, I wasn't really raised in a strong Christian home at all. I got into drugs and alcohol, and my father fell dead as a drug addict at age 51. But God put his hand on my life. And even though I did not even know what it meant to respond to the call of God, I yielded to him. And when he began to call me, I began to yield deeper. And out of that, I've literally preached throughout many, many nations of the world. I've been blessed to have the hand in many, many lives as far as helping raise up radical world changers for Jesus. So it's not about how qualified you feel. It's about making yourself available. And then the power, the presence, the love of God overwhelms your heart and you have to go. There's no other choice.
All right, friends, if that's just for you, where you are, where you live, just take one step at a time. Do what you know how to do. Walk in the light that you have. Walk in obedience to whatever God is requiring of you today, be it as a mother, be it as a father, be it as a teacher, be it as an evangelist on the street, be it as a pastor, whoever it is, whatever the situation, walk in the light you have, and then God will lead you to the next step. As you're faithful in little, he'll make you faithful in much. And if he's calling you to be part of our school of ministry, maybe you're listening now and your heart's pounding and you're sitting here that what's going on? Well, maybe the Lord's calling you. Maybe at least you need to find out more. Give us a call, 704-782-3555. We only want those God's calling and those that are serious. So it's not a rehab place. All right. You come as a committed believer and we'll help take you from there and help you run the race God's called you to run. Give us a call at 704-782-3555 or go to fire-school.org. That's fire-school.org. And friends, every day people are contacting us. Questions are coming in. People dealing with issues. My kid just came out and said that they're gay. My spouse just told me I'm a pastor and I'm dealing with these situations. I want to be effective in my outreach and social media, and I'm getting hit with this every day. We've got two practical sources. We've combined them together, taken off over 50% off the price. My 5-lecture series, Can You Be Gay and Christian, that answers the tough questions. It includes a 2-hour debate with Harry Knox, who is a gay activist who claims to be a born-again Christian. 5 full DVDs, plus my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, that is getting great reports from the readers, together with postage over $80. But today, $40 postage paid, just so we can get these resources in your hands. Call to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, God qualifies the unqualified, and the power of the gospel is his power, not ours. So what happens when a group of people get together and say, let's just go for it and make our lives count? You're about to be stirred and encouraged today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, we're going to take you behind the scenes here a little bit at the Line of Fire and then talk to some of our students, a grad from Fire School of Ministry, our school director, to encourage you in your own life that your life can make a difference, that God can use you, whoever you are, whatever your background, if your life is yielded to Him. And then for those that are called to be part of Fire, to be trained and equipped and sent out, you will find Fire School of Ministry to be an extraordinary environment. We live what we preach what we live, and people join in community together. Their burden increases, their vision increases, and they get to do hands-on ministry and then go out as world changers. So we'll tell you more about that in a moment. But two of our students are also employed by our ministry. There are just a few slots where folks can work. Often they'll come in and serve and volunteer. We get to know them, and then we think, hey, these folks would really fit well. And we've got two of our employees who are also students at Fire School of Ministry joining us. So I just want to go behind the scenes for a minute with Dylan and Laura. Laura, you've been with us a little bit longer. So how long have you been working with our ministry now?
Well, I was volunteering back in the fall of this past year, and I came on as staff this January, so almost a year kind of.
All right. Now, basically, just so folks know, with our reserve parking here, there's always a space for my Rolls Royce, and then all employees, you get Bentleys, of course.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Seriously, you know, by God's grace, the impact we're having and lives that we're touching. As you started to get behind the scenes and speak to people on the phone and answer emails and correspondence and things like that, did it change your perspective at all? Did it give you any more understanding of what's happening or how people are being touched?
I mean, I definitely saw the impact once I started working with the torchbearers and the supporters here. It's just kind of funny once they call in because it's really a skeleton staff here. I mean, there's very few of us, but it sounds like a mega ministry when they're calling, like, you know, and it's great, though. But definitely was impacted by the amount of support. Not that we don't believe in you, Dr. Brown, but it was just encouraging to see how they were touched and would always make a point just to say how much they were encouraged by the ministry.
Yeah, and you've passed that on to me with a big smile as well. And really, for everything that goes out from here and the ministry that's done, it's a hardworking little group of folks, mm-hmm. and quite frugal, I guess you'd say, behind the scenes as well.
Yep.
Now, Dylan, how long have you been serving front lines with us now?
I've been here since March working with you.
All right. Yeah. And Dylan helps set up my schedule and coordinate things when I had that debacle of 27 and a half hours of delays and cancellations of flights in Chicago and ended up without my luggage and that whole crazy story. How many hours did you spend on the phone with a baggage claim? It was like 6 hours or something.
Well, and I guess just to clear myself and make it clear, it wasn't my fault for the 20-something hours, so I just wanted to set that. But, you know, you called me. I got an email from you earlier in the day, and I made a point when I got home I saw it, shot you a quick email, which lets you know I was up. So you called me around 10 that night, and I think I went to bed that night around 2, was on the phone the entire time, and then back up at 6 and on the phone till I went to school for 8 o'clock that morning. So, and then ensued a couple more days of putting in a few hours a day following up.
Yeah,
with that.
So some of the fun, as I'm traveling around the world in the midst of things, if something goes wrong, it is Dylan's responsibility, but just understand this, nobody here is getting rich, but here you've got Dylan in school, married with kids, up through the night, up early in the morning, because everyone's got the same heart. Let's throw ourselves in together. All right, we come back. I want to remind you about what's happening in Winston-Salem this weekend, and then stir your heart about revival and Jesus' revolution and God shaking a nation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire broadcast. All right, everybody listening to me right now in Greater Winston-Salem. So if you're 5 minutes away or an hour or two away, everyone in Greater Winston-Salem, I'm coming your way this weekend. The moment I received the invitation, I immediately said yes. Two reasons. One, I wanted to be a blessing to the congregation that invited me. But the reason I didn't even hesitate was because I've been wanting to get into the area and meet you, our listeners, face-to-face. Some of you have been listening for 6 years steady, some just the last 3 months or last week. But I want to take time to meet with you face-to-face. Matt, our producer, will be there. You'll get to meet him as well. And some of our other team from the studio. So here's the address. It's going to be 3 o'clock, meet and greet time. It's just going to be a personal, informal time with everyone that comes. And we're just going to share vision, do a live, you've got questions, we've got answers time. I'm going to do a book signing as well. So the address in Winston-Salem is 7840 North Point Boulevard. And it's Suite 120. It's a big building, but it's Suite 120. 7840 North Point Boulevard. It's a Wake Church, 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. One more time, 7840 North Point Boulevard, Suite 120. It's a Wake Church. And then Saturday night, if you want to stick around, get a meal, come back. I'll be doing a teaching on Scripture, interpreting Scripture, how to understand the Bible. That'll be Saturday night. And then Sunday morning at 10, I will be speaking on the dangers of hypergrace. So 3 p.m. Saturday, then 6 p.m. for general public, and Sunday morning for church general public. But again, our special time where I'm just going to connect with you, our listeners, and especially if you're a supporter of this ministry, one of our torchbearers, I would love to meet you face to face. One of the great themes of our School of Ministry, Fire School of Ministry, is a theme that comes across on this radio broadcast on a regular basis, namely Jesus Revolution, namely revival, namely shake the nations with the gospel. In fact, you hear a song from Aaron Kreider that introduces the show every single day, and it's a song called Shake the Nations, and it calls for Jesus Revolution. I just want to start with Keith Collins, a grad from our ministry school years back in Pensacola, currently serving as lead pastor of our congregation and as director of our school of ministry. When you hear the word Jesus Revolution, Keith, what goes off in you? What explodes in your world, your heart, when you hear that concept?
I immediately think of, number one, the picture of the early church, how they turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My heart races, really, because when I look at the condition of society, even our American culture, and just the level of degradation and perversion and morality, you can get heartsick if you just look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus Revolution to me means a countercultural movement, not with arms and not with violence, but with the power of the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, men and women that are so sold out to Jesus that they understand Paul in Philippians when he talks about this is by life or by death, and they're willing to give themselves so that Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel can not just be heard, but can be seen through the way that they live their lives. And, you know, we look at history. We look at whether it be Lamphere in New York who begin to pray and seek the face of God, and how just by being faithful to that, literally the entire city and other parts of America were radically changed. We look at Wilberforce in England with with his abolitionist heart to end slavery, and how that, I mean, they were men, these type of individuals throughout history. They put their foot in the sand and they said, we will not move off the principles of truth and the gospel. And they changed history because of it. So to me, a Jesus Revolution is not a bunch of noise. It's not big Christian meetings with waving flags and banners. That might be a part of it, but no, it's cultural. Our culture being radically changed, society changing for the glory of God.
And it's not guns and arms.
Not
and
at all.
Guns and hate. It's the New Testament way. Neil, you are a recent grad of Fire School of Ministry, 36 years old, married with children, heading to Jordan. You've been in Turkey. You did an internship with your entire family in northern Iraq with our team there. When you hear Jesus Revolution, What happens in your own life? What dreams explode? What vision, what concepts come up as you hear Jesus Revolution?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus Revolution really is a fulfillment of Scripture. That is what needs to happen, is for His people to be so on fire and in love with Him that they usher in a revolution by His Spirit.
Well, go ahead.
One of the things that I saw in these refugee camps in northern Iraq is we share the truth and the power of the gospel with people, but it's only by His Spirit that their depravity and their sinfulness and their separation is revealed. So unless God moves on the person that we are witnessing to, then there is no change. It's just a conversation. And a Jesus revolution and a revival is when God moves in mass on the hearts of people who do not know Him, and He draws them into Himself. Scripture is very clear that when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And for me, when I think about revival and Jesus revolution, it's that Him drawing near to us part of the equation.
When you think of the future, we know there's a lot of conflict, turmoil all around the world. We know America's in a precarious moral condition, as are other nations. Are you hope-filled or hopeless or just kind of, hey, we'll see what happens?
I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come and knock on my door yesterday, and they asked a very similar question. They said, there's so much turmoil in the world, it's so hard to have hope, isn't it? And I look at them and I said, absolutely not. My hope is in the One who has overcome the world. It's very simple that my hope is in Jesus. He is our strength. And the Lord showed me something one time. It was a vision of a house made of glass. And this house was sitting in a field as four tornadoes were approaching it. And the people that were in the field, as they saw the tornadoes, they ran to this glass house for safety and security. Obviously, they were destroyed as the tornadoes came. In the field also was a man faithfully at a plow, paying no attention to the approaching storm. He was going about the work that he was called to do. And this man was a man who was captivated by Jesus and the work that he was called to do. His hope was in the One who had called him to work. He had no attention set on the approaching storm or the turmoil. These are the Jesus revolutionaries. Their hope is fixed on the One who has overcome the world.
You know, I remember some years ago, Neil, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door, and it was clear that one was trying to train the other guy. So we began to talk a little bit, and I said, listen, and I explained, my sins are forgiven. I know the Lord. He's my Father. I have an intimate relationship with God. Jesus is my Lord. My life is overflowing. You know, I just gave the full description as best as I could. And I said, so what are you offering me that I don't have? And the guy, he had his talking point. Well, you know, the world needs hope. It's like, buddy, I got a whole lot more hope than you do. How has being a student, now 3 years, you graduated, done your internship, how has that equipped you being at Fire School of Ministry to help you live this out? What's the difference now from 3 years ago when you came as a student?
I think one of the biggest practical benefits of Fire School is the teachers who are living with us for 3 years. And I very literally use the word living with us, because these are men and women of God who are laying down their lives to pour into us. And they have history with the Lord. They know Jesus. They spend time with the Lord. And the revelation that the Lord has given them, they freely give to us. I had one teacher, Mr. Alt. I had an interest in learning Greek over the summer. Well, he took his own time to invite me to his house the entire summer, and he taught me Greek. And I would show up, and we'd sit at his dining room table, and Mr. Alt would come down in his sweatpants, and we would talk about Greek. This is just a special place that we have. These incredible men and women of God are laying down their lives to pour into us, and it makes all the difference.
Yeah, and what thrills us and blesses us is the impact on the lives of those who are with us. And then when they go out from the school, we're always astounded. I can't wait. Keith, it's just, a few weeks from now, we'll be in the Philippines with some of the other leadership team, where many of our grads from all over Southeast Asia will be gathering. The Philippines, we've picked that because our team there with men, women, and children is, what, like 50
people. Yeah, with the children, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're going to get together, and of course it's our time to pour into them and be a blessing to them as spiritual leaders and elders. But you know, you and I know the same thing. We're just going to be thrilled and blessed and stirred to hear what God's doing through them. All right, friends, maybe God is calling you to be trained and equipped at Fire School of Ministry, or maybe you know a family member. You have to be at least 18. We've got folks of all ages. You have to be a seriously committed believer and at least a high school grad. But again, we've got folks from all backgrounds and all educational backgrounds. The key thing is that you're called and you want to be trained and equipped for the work of ministry. Give us a call, 704-782-3555. Our next semester starts in just a couple of months, so now's the time. 704-782-3555, or go to our website to find out more, fire-school.org. That's fire-school.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. We have brought in to our studio today the director of our School of Ministry, Keith Collins, two of our students, Laura and Dylan, who also serve and work in our ministry, and Neil, who has just graduated and with his family is heading to Jordan for missions work. If you want to find out more about Fire School of Ministry, give us a call at 704-782-3555. Tuition for a semester is just $1,800. You say, isn't that low for school? It's extraordinarily low for school, but that's our way of trying to serve as many people as possible to equip you for the work so that you can go out and make an impact for the Lord. Laura, let me speak with you as a student in the School of Ministry and someone working in our ministry. We don't stick our heads in the sand about social issues and moral issues and Fire Church. We preach about these things honestly. Anyone listening to the show knows you're going to hear the truth here, and we're going to tell it like it is. Are you discouraged, or do you have hope for the future? Do you think the God's best moves are behind us, or that you could see God do amazing things? What's going on in your own heart?
Especially since working here, there's been a lot of more involvement in the social issues. And I mean, I'm just full of hope. Just as Neil had said earlier, like I feel like it's a very prominent time that the Lord could break in at any moment. The harvest is very ripe right now. And just seeing what's going on, it's more intense. Things have been coming to a climax, I feel like, just with the gay issues and things with the government. But I'm definitely hopeful because, again, I trust in the one who's already overcome this world. And yeah.
Now, what happens is, as you've seen, you've been part of our missions conferences, our grads coming in from different parts of the world, sharing their testimonies. We raise funds, help them get back out and continue the work they're doing. How has that impacted you? You've been now through two missions conferences in your 2 years here at Fire School. How have those impacted you?
They have stirred my heart to the core. I absolutely love missions, and I know that's one of the ways that the Lord drew me here in the first place. But just to see just the practical ways that people are reaching out, and it's so easy just to put Jesus in the midst of it. For me, that just, it simplifies the gospel and brings it down to a level where others, you know, they just don't have it. And it's just the love, you know, there's so much hate and there's so much destruction, even in the hearts and emotionally abandoned, you know, just in the father issues and, you know, just the abandonment of children and stuff. So, I mean, just seeing them come here and know that they've been in the roughest places, people from India and Africa, just, you know, murder and all this stuff. It just brings me hope because they're in that place with families actually pursuing the Lord's heart and in sharing that.
And you know the commission that the Lord gave me in terms of reach out and resist homosexualism, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. So you work in our ministry, you're in our school, you're part of our local church. You're definitely exposed to to who I am and the burden that we carry. How has that affected your attitude towards gay and lesbian community? Do you look at them more negatively? Do you feel more hostility towards them? Do you have more compassion? How has this affected you being in close to the burden we carry?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't really exposed to it before I came here, not in a larger sense, just because it's more intensified here, just because it is something that you mostly focus on. But I mean, I feel like the compassion has definitely grown. Just seeing a lot of different sides and in reading a lot of the articles that you've written, and seeing some of the comments you get back, I see the war that's been waging against it. But my heart goes out to them just knowing that the truth is so readily available for them. And, I mean, I'm just stirred to be just like the Lord to them. If ever, you know, I even worked with a lesbian woman, and it was just, it was heartbreaking, you know, not saying that, oh, she's poor and pitiful, but it was just like, you know, just knowing that the Lord's love was just there for her. So, I mean,
And do you feel more equipped to answer some of these pressing issues? I mean, you check on social media, a lot of young people have their talking points and not much behind it. They don't seem to really be able to know how to think through issues. Do you feel more equipped having been here?
Yeah, especially since it's been a prominent topic that we've had talked about. So, yeah.
Got it. And Dylan, what about on your end? You hear about revival. You hear about Jesus' revolution. Do you feel like you're going to be part of it? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I do believe, I believe that I'll be part of it and that we'll see a great, you know, I don't think God's greatest moves are behind us or behind what he's already done. I don't see God doing great things and moving in a powerful way and then just kind of waning out towards the end of time and the end of the age, so to speak. So to me, I think revival and revolution is something that is will not only be touted and expressed from the pulpit, but it's gonna come off the stage. It's gonna go into the family homes. It's gonna be the family altars being restored, husbands and wives, children. I think there's not gonna be a socioeconomic limitation, and I think with that taking place, it's the ability to take the mundane tasks of every day and to use those in a way that build up eternal significance and eternal value.
So how does your wife feel? Three kids, a fourth on the way. In her mind, is it just, well, just homemaker, housewife, and my husband has a calling, or does she feel part of that calling with you?
Yeah, it's obviously a great question. Immediately reminds me of something that you have said. But to be honest, has she expressed at times the thoughts, those thoughts coming in where the enemy wants to contradict what the truth is? The thoughts do come in from time to time that she's expressed. But thinking of what you said, that whenever you have the doubt or those things that come in that are opposite, you can turn it around and use it as a prophecy.
Yeah, so when the devil lies to you, you'll never amount to anything. Turn around as a prophecy that God's saying you'll amount to something.
Yeah. So she does an amazing, she homeschools our two oldest ones, and very soon we'll be homeschooling three, and then we will also have a newborn. So there is definitely a grace and a calling, and my wife does amazing with taking care of our home. And again, our greatest, one of our greatest assets is our children, and to release that next generation that we want to raise up so that if the Lord does tarry, the works of God that we've experienced are only going to be intensified through our children.
You know, I remember one of our gals came to the school, single lady, met her husband here, got married in the school of ministry, and then they've got kids. And she said, you know, it was kind of jarring because it was first, I want to go change the world. And she said, I went from changing the world to changing diapers. And then she said, no, I'm going to change the world one diaper at a time. And she'll go out with her family, with, you know, little kids, just go out and witness and share the gospel and minister to the sick and the hurting. And it all works together. Friends, give us a call if you want to find out more about Fire School of Ministry. Our next semester starts in just 2 months with our intensive immersion time together. And then we will be pouring into, there's hands-on practical ministry. You worship, pray together, live this out together. If you want to find out more info for yourself or for a family member, give us a call. It's not too late to get involved in the fall semester, which starts actually in just 2 months. 704-782-3555. That's 704-782-3555. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on school for info there. Or you can go straight to fire-school.org. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Remember, friends, if you live anywhere near Winston-Salem, North Carolina, maybe you've been listening to this broadcast since we started over 6 years ago, please join me this weekend, Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. We're not going to be having a worship service. It's just going to be a meet and greet time, so it's going to be an intimate time with those who come. You'll get to ask me questions. I'll find out about where you've come from and your involvement with the broadcast. I want to instill some vision in you and hope and courage. We'll be doing a book signing. That'll be 3 o'clock. The address, 7800 North Point Boulevard, Suite 120. That's 7800 North Point Boulevard, Suite 120. It's a big building, but that's how it's labeled, Suite 120, Winston-Salem. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then 6 p.m. I'll be ministering for Wake Church, and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome, of course, to attend all of those meetings. Keith Collins, director of our School of Ministry. Keith, before we get back to some of our vision and what some of our grads are doing around the world, just give a word of encouragement to someone that's in a rut. They're stuck. They don't know how to jumpstart and get going. Speak to them.
Sure. You know, oftentimes in our walk with the Lord, we do go through challenging seasons. And believe it or not, sometimes God allows them and maybe even ordains some of those seasons. And it's in those places that, you know, we can either do one or two things. We can either grow or we can kind of withdraw and pull away from the Lord. Let me just say that if you know that the Lord has touched you and your life has been changed by the truth of the gospel and by the love of God, you know, maybe you're in that place today where you're distraught. Maybe you feel like maybe there's a sin that you've committed, or you could be in secret sin that nobody knows about. Maybe your wife or your husband or your leaders know nothing about it, but you know, the Lord knows about it, and He loves you so much that you're listening maybe today. And I believe maybe some of the things that you've heard or are hearing are stirring your heart. You don't have to stay in that place. You know, maybe you're just in a dry place spiritually. You love God. You know God is real. Maybe you're faithful to a local church and you pay tithes and all the things that a lot of Christians do, but there's no passion and there's no hunger. There's no thirsting for the things of God. Let me encourage you to shut yourself in with God. One thing I know that I know that I know, that anytime I've walked in seasons of dryness or seasons where I didn't feel anything, I have given myself to the Lord many times in those places, and God has always been faithful to make Himself real in those seasons when I deliberately gave myself to Him. So He's there for you today. He loves you so much. And listen, your life can count for eternity, and the Lord can do a great work through your willingness to come to Him.
And Keith, you, as you've served the Lord these many years, having been delivered from drugs and a messed up life as a teenager, and seeing family members make wrong choices with terrible consequences, you and your wife, Darla, have been through a real season of testing. Mm-hmm. Darla losing her sister after a long health battle. And then you have two kids, your first two grandkids, within just a few weeks of each other. And your first grandchild born with some very real health challenges, if you just listen to the doctors, very dire. Mm-hmm. How has your walk been sustained in the midst of this?
You know, it's been challenging. Our one grandson, Jude, has a condition that to date, right now, there's only 40. He was 41. There was a child born a few days ago. So there's only 42 cases in the United States, and really around the world, that they know about. You know, the diagnosis, the prognosis, they're all very, very challenging. However, I have to tell you that we have found God in the midst of the challenge. Mm-hmm. And not only in the sense that He has sustained us, but even our faith for our grandson, as well as, and I told a group of leaders I was with 2 weeks ago and really just broke down in tears because I have prayed, honestly, for compassion for the sick in my own ministry. So God is doing that supernaturally.
All right, friends, would you join us in praying for a complete miracle for Jude? He's making progress in many ways. He's a fighter. The family's standing in faith. But join us in praying for complete, miraculous, 100% healing in this little baby. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have brought into the studio today some of our students, a grad and director of our School of Ministry, just to talk to you, to encourage your heart to build faith in your life. And if God's calling you to our school, maybe you didn't know about it, maybe this is exactly what you needed, and we'd love to help you find out if Fire School of Ministry is the place for you. You know, there's an interesting revelation. Our older daughter, Jennifer, got it when she was, maybe a young teenager, maybe a little younger than that. But we lived in Maryland, and she said to me one day, she said, you know, Dad, everybody wants to meet you and talk to you, but you're just Dad. I said, exactly. She said, so, like, nobody is anybody. I said, exactly. Everybody's just Dad or Mom or son or daughter. God just uses regular people. There are no superstars. Everybody has to eat and sleep. Everybody gets tired. Everybody has to deal with the flesh, with emotions, with finances, with life. God just works through yielded people. And we're talking to some of those yielded people who are here together. One of the things that they've appreciated about Fire School of Ministry is that we are going for it. Thank God for every good school, every school, church-based, seminary, independent school, whatever it is that God's using, wonderful. We have our role. We have our calling. If you listen to me on the air, you come to the school, you'll say, okay, this is what you've been talking about. Here's a group of people living this out together. Our next semester starts in just 2 months, actually August 14th. We start with a special immersion time. So now is the time to enroll, to get your application forms submitted. If you haven't done that, to find out more, give us a call at 704-782-3555. That's 704-782-3555. Neil, you came to the school. You'd been seriously committed to the Lord for a few years, married with children, just graduated. How has the school helped equip you to do what God has called you to do?
I think to answer that question, I need to explain briefly why I came to the school in the first place. When I surrendered to Jesus and I gave him my past, my present, and my future, I gave him everything, and I started to devour Scripture. And what I saw in Scripture was not lining up with what I saw in my life. Mm. And quite frankly, even in the lives of believers around me. And I knew that there was more. There was more of God. There was more of His kingdom. There was more of His Spirit that was available to us. And so I came to Fire because I needed a life in the Spirit. Mm. I come from a denominational background that doesn't really walk in that sort of thing. It doesn't teach that sort of thing. And so what I saw in Fire was a place that upheld the authority of Scripture, but they also taught a life in the Spirit, a life led by the Holy Spirit. And I had lunch with a friend of mine from this denominational background not too long ago, and he said, all right, man, you came here looking for this life in the Spirit thing. What have you got? And I looked at him and I said, bro, I got Jesus. What I got was Jesus. More love for Jesus, a relationship, a deep passion for Jesus. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does, isn't it? That's what Jesus told us the Holy Spirit would do. He would lead us to Jesus.
So in other words, being in this environment, which is one where we welcome the gifts and power of the Spirit, we pray for the sick, we believe that there can be demonic activity, people need to be delivered, and God still speaks and acts and things like that. Rather than have you focusing on those things or manifestations, the work of the Spirit has caused you to focus on Jesus.
Exactly. And with Jesus comes these things, but Jesus must come first.
Yeah. And that has that been something that has just been as natural as when you go out in the rain, you get wet? That's just the natural result of being in this environment?
It is, because everyone here, in terms of faculty and staff and older students, they're already walking in that. And so just by proxy, you're around people who are burning for Jesus, and fire begets fire.
Yes, I think I've said that, haven't I? Laura, what about on your end? You've been here now 2 years, so you have a last year to go, including an internship. obviously there's a lot you get in terms of information and so on, but how has being at FIRE helped equip you for what God is calling to do you to do with your life?
Well, as much as being in the classroom has equipped me through the teaching and through just living, preaching of the word, there's outside of the classroom that's really impacted my life, and seeing the Spirit lived out in the individuals of the instructors' lives and how I've gleaned from that. And I came from a Catholic background, so there wasn't really that life there. So even coming here in itself, I was already exposed to charismatic, you know, Pentecostal movements and such. But coming here, it was the life that I saw illuminating from the teaching, that they lived what they preached. And that's what has really struck me. And coming here, there's just a death to self as well, in thinking you know what you know. And so there's that tension that you go through as well. And I, you know, it's always, you're always in the transition of dying to yourself and always embracing the things of God. But, you know, it's just.
Yeah, people go through a lot of upheaval because the Holy Spirit goes deep and sometimes reveals areas in our lives we weren't there, we're aware of, or pride or self-sufficiency or other stuff like that, and then keeps stretching us, but it's all good.
It's encouraging.
If you stay on the ride, it's good. So it's not just a matter of hearing the information. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of seeing it lived out that's important.
Yep, definitely.
All right, Dylan, what about you? How long have you been in the school now?
Finished a year this past semester.
All right, so after 1 year, first, is there anything that surprised you in terms of either what was being taught or the quality of what was being taught or the atmosphere that you were in? Anything surprised you positively or negatively?
Nothing surprised me negatively. And
correct answer. Good. And, that's the right answer.
I was about to clarify, just me going to this. I'm not saying that because I'm here at the school, but then again,
and because
everybody
you're also,
says that.
And you also work for me.
And I work for you.
Right.
Yeah.
No. I asked honestly, but I knew I'd get a good answer.
Positively, I would, in a short answer, would just simply say what I was expecting was exceeded in every area. The thing that really, that I feel privileged to be a part of, is that there are many great schools all across the nation and the nations of the world that are training people. But it's not every day you get to be a part of a school that was birthed out of revival itself. And so coming here and being part of the school, I think one thing that's been modeled before me has been with all of the success, all of the missionaries, all of the works that are going on that have come out of FIRE School, is that the leaders and the pillars and the people who have been here since the beginning still say, just as Neil said, it all goes back to Jesus. It starts there, it continues there, and it ends there. And then, of course, out of that flows the works. Outside of once I graduate in the next couple years, I mean, the 3 years of school, it comes and goes. But the other thing that I'm really valuing is the lifelong relationships, not just with faculty, but with the students themselves, really connecting with like-minded. And that was huge for me, was connecting with like-minded people who, when you think you've given up certain things to come here and you meet someone who's a similar situation or has given up a lot more, you feel like you're just another person, but in the good sense, that you're surrounded with people that you feel like are heading the same direction as you.
Yeah, and so many of our folks been at school and they've been on the mission field for years serving together. All right, real quick, a favorite class or two, and don't mention one of mine to mention one of mine, unless it really is, but a favorite class or two that you've had so far.
Well, I've had two semesters. Bob Gladstone, New Jesus People, first semester. Second semester would be Apostolic Church, Bob Gladstone. Uh-huh. And then I have 1 Corinthians coming up. And so if Bob Gladstone with 1 Corinthians ends up being my favorite class, I'm just going to change my answer to my favorite class is Bob Gladstone.
Yeah, he's a PhD, pastors a local assembly. We sent him out with about 50 of some of our top people to plan a house group church network. He's just got amazing depth of insight into the Word. Always blows me away when I hear him teach, preach. What about you, Laura? What's been a favorite class or two so far?
Let's see. I am a big fan of Mr. Ault and his teaching in the Book of Acts. That has been one of my favorites. And also Beasts of the Field. So
Beasts of the Field, which is about what?
It's about us being made in the image of Christ, and just in relation with the Beasts of the Field, how we were created on the same day. in the book of Genesis. So.
Got it. And is it kind of a holiness, practical living class? What's it?
It is definitely more of a practical class, just in relation to, you know, the characteristics between a beast, you know, like an animal, and then the human having some of the same characteristics, but the differentiating between those. We were made in the image of Christ is what separates us from that. So.
Neat. Excellent. All right. I've got a couple more questions for our panel of experts here. By the way, just as you guys are sitting in the room with me here, I wrote an article, I Refuse to Accept the Status Quo American Version of Christianity. It's definitely struck a chord with a lot of people who are sharing it with others. And I just glanced to see comments, to see how it was impacting people. And here's a sweet one. This came in. I, me, me, me. You would think Dr. Brown was God. So I clicked on the guy's name. He always attacks me. You think, hey, come on, man, I want to help you, buddy. Don't be so critical. I could be a blessing in your life, you know.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we've got just a few minutes left with some of our students and grads from Fire School of Ministry. And Keith, you know, we're in the Philippines. A couple of days I'm planning on broadcasting live from the Philippines, which will be 2 to 4 in the morning. But it'll be at the home of one of the grads across from the hotel, which means we'll be waking up a whole bunch of people, just telling the grads no being wimps up in the middle of the night. And I just hope they don't give me a morning ministry slot that next day. But I want to speak to Neil. Why don't you grab the mic? I want to speak to the younger generation listening to me. If you're a teenager, if you're college and career age, you know, 20s, 30s, but especially even the younger crowd, we're constantly hearing that the younger generation is turned away from the Lord. We're constantly hearing that people aren't serious about God, that they're leaving the church, that the church is too political and hypocritical. I'm constantly around young people who are hungry and thirsty for the Lord, not just here, but in places where I travel. And yet I understand in many ways it's a remnant. Neil, you are 36 now, but I want you to just speak what's on your heart to the younger generation. Just share your heart honestly.
Yeah, the things of this world will never satisfy. I know for me personally, when I was growing up, my desire was always to be a famous rock star musician. That was my pursuit. And with everything I had, I pursued that. And I found very quickly that the things of this world will not satisfy. You'll be left feeling empty. And it wasn't until I fully surrendered to Jesus that I found out what true love and satisfaction was in Him. He is a redeemer. He is a restorer. He takes what is broken and burned and destroyed and creates something beautiful for His purpose. He did that in my life, and I know that my story is not unique. He can do that in anyone's life who comes to Him.
All right. Dylan, what's on your heart? Speak directly to this younger generation.
Yeah, I guess what comes to my mind would be from all the older men and women who I've come across who are serving the Lord. Some come to the Lord at different times in their life, but even those who had surrendered to Christ at such an early age, I've still yet to meet one person who regretted really giving their life over to the Lord at such a young age and investing and surrendering. You know, I've heard people who have walked away from the Lord that regretted walking away from the Lord. I've heard of people who are serving God faithfully and burning for Him who wished they would have surrendered sooner, but I've yet to hear of a young person who's faithfully served God from there, whether it would be 7, 8, 9 years old or 13, 14, 15, throughout their life, that looked back and said, you know, I have some regrets about really giving over to Christ at such an early age.
Yeah, absolutely true. Laura, go ahead, speak to this younger generation. Dylan, you're 30. Laura, you just turned 23. Speak to your generation.
Well, I just have to say my heart goes out to them. Just seeing how, just in my own life, how there's just been that disqualification factor, how we waste so much time and just putting our efforts to something that, you know, we know that there is a bigger picture, and we just waste so much time giving into those accusations. I would just encourage them that, you know, it's not worth the energy. It's not worth the time. There's greater purpose. There's greater destiny. And I would just say that there's an identity greater than the thoughts of the enemy. You know, we always just give in to those. It's just a training and a violence that, you know, we need to just pursue. And just what Dylan said, we want no regret.
Yeah, and, you know, here's a generation of so many kids cut themselves and, you know, give way to self-abusive practices, medicate themselves. And yet, when Laura speaks of a violence, it's dealing violently with those thoughts, saying, no, devil, you're not going to have my life. My life can count for eternity. Keith, you're coming to the end of a message. You've got 10,000 young people there between the ages of 15 and 30. And you're giving them a final word of exhortation to go for it. You've been preaching since you've been a teenager like me. Give a word of exhortation to us.
I want to ask all of you a question. What are you living for this afternoon? What burns in your heart? What is it that, you know, really gets the juices flowing in your life? There's a saying that we quote here often, and it's connected to a great missionary that died years ago. And that is, are the things that you're living for worth Christ dying for? At the end of your life, you come to the end, like all of us will come to the end. And all that really matters in light of eternity is what you do for Jesus Christ. The beautiful thing is that by giving yourself to Him, by giving yourself to the purposes that God has for each of you today, not only is there a sense of completion and a sense of obedience that you experience, but there's a fulfillment that comes through true identity. All of you are seeking for identity. You're seeking for purpose. You're seeking for reason for living. Well, God created you in His image. And until you really come to that knowledge through repentance, through giving yourself to Jesus, through allowing Him to love you in a radical way, then you'll just continue to search. But if the Lord's speaking to you today, today is the day of salvation. If the Lord is speaking to you and you are a believer, and you know there's more in life for you, there's a call of God. It could be to own a business and use that business to support the kingdom of God around the world. It could be to be a missionary like Neil in the Middle East. Whatever that calling is, maybe to children, until you fulfill that calling, until you walk into the direction of that calling, you will never be complete. And I'm telling you that the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God is there to help you today.
Amen. Friends, I'm with you every word on that, Keith. And thanks, Laura, Dylan, Neil, for everything you've shared. If your own heart is stirred, you want to find out about Fire School of Ministry for yourself, for a family member, for a friend, if not for this semester, for a future semester. Next semester starts, our school year starts in mid-August, so that's 2 months from now. But it's not too late if God's calling you to be part of our school, to be trained and equipped. Call us now at 704-782-3555. That's 704-782-3555. Let me give it to you one more time, 704-782-3555, to find out more about Fire School of Ministry or to get an application for you or a family member or friend. Or you can find out more about the school by going to fire-school.org, fire-school.org. And if you say, hey, I'm excited about all this, I'm thrilled, but I know God's not calling me to the school of ministry, I want to do something to help, well, partner with us. As you partner with me, as you partner with Line of Fire, as you partner with Ask Dr. Brown, you are partnering with our school of ministry. You are partnering with us as we help raise up and send out missionaries. You're partnering with us as we support them on the field. So to become a torchbearer, to become a monthly supporter, to give a one-time gift, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And right on the homepage, you can click to donate. You can become a torchbearer. You can give a one-time gift. And together, friends, we are making a difference. And to every one of you listening, don't count yourself out. If you cast yourself on the mercy of the Lord, and turn from any known area of disobedience and say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. Send me. Your best days could be yet ahead. My bottom line today, God calls the weak things of the world to confound and bring down the strong. Why? So that on that day of boasting, our only boast will be in the power and goodness and wisdom of God.